focus on housing in Ireland and really to tell you what happens when an entire country, from top level, from government down to individuals, to local authorities, people involved in the property sector, the housing sector, when they start looking at homes as houses and just talking about them as an actual commodity, something for buying and selling, and an obsession with actually getting on the property ladder, how that can get completely out of control, and the effects that that actually has on the well-being of people down the line. So I'm going to do that by talking through a number of different stages in Ireland over the past kind of 20 years where we've kind of jumped along from crisis to crisis through housing, which led to us developing this mapping tool for Dublin City Council, looking at trying to develop a whole series of data and data visualisation tools looking at housing and housing-related data across the city. So Eros, we're based in the University of Maynooth in Ireland. We run a spatial data website, and we're kind of a consultancy service. So we're not so much about the qualitative stuff. We're very much on the kind of the quantitative side, mapping, data analysis, research, training. So we work with a wide variety of people right across Ireland, government bodies, semi-states, academics, and we're not really specifically based on housing. We do all sorts of stuff. So tomorrow we'll be working on wind farms. Today it's housing. Next week it'll be unemployment. So it's very cross-sector stuff. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm not a housing expert. So just looking at the what's happened in Ireland over the last number of years. So, as I said, we've gone from kind of crisis to crisis in housing. We've had a major increase in population in Ireland from 1991 to 2011, a 30% increase. So in any country, that's a huge demand on services, and it's going to have a huge demand on population. So there was this real need for housing at the start, and it just started with build right across the country. For the first time, there was a real diversification of stock. First time in Ireland we've really seen apartments, dwellings all over the place. So first time people have actually started living in apartments and gated communities and all that sort of thing. Complete change. A hell of a lot of overzoning by local authorities. They were zoning residential lands everywhere. Developers were sitting on this land, not pushing it on, waiting for prices to rise and rise and rise. And as all of this is happening, there was an explosive growth in house prices, up to 500%. In quarter three, 1995, average second-hand house price is 4.1 times average industrial salary. Quarter 2, 2007, it was 11.9%. So massive change in housing and prices across Ireland. Looking at the actual house prices, our land values, you can see what's happening here right across the country. Pretty low cost. Absolutely explodes here up in 2006. And across Europe, Ireland's land prices per hectare way off scale anywhere else in Europe. So bits of land in Dublin under cities are more expensive than parts of the French Riviera and so on, and that certainly wasn't right. 2006, The Economist, we were Ireland was Europe's shining light. This is the country to be, and this is where everything was happening. But behind all of that, the property market and housing and construction, building homes, was completely propping up GDP and propping up total tax revenues. So 2006, 17% of total tax revenues in the country was coming from the housing sector, from construction. So all based on that, all this growth, all of this party time, Celtic Tiger, all based on housing discontinuing. Everything stopped, global recession, complete fall off in here in housing growth, and everything changes in 2007, 2008. Within a year, we got the IMF in the country, the whole country changes, massive new austerity measures brought in, huge salary cuts, 20% across the board in the public sector. House prices drop, major issues across the country. So the big issues in the kind of the second crisis, massive oversupply, unfinished estates or ghost estates, regeneration scheme for social housing completely stalled, public-private schemes collapse, house prices plunging, this whole new thing on negative equity, which is interesting. This morning, the flip chart you showed, there's only one small thing about finance for home. In Ireland, finance is the key thing. If you did this roundtable discussion in Ireland, you'd have a completely different set of post-its up there about home. Finance is a major thing. Negative equity, as someone said earlier, it's like a weight around people's throats for a hell of a lot of people in Ireland. So a very different outlook on home than there seems to be here from what I've heard this morning. So we'll look through some of these. In terms of house building, number of construction units, you can see this is Europe in 2007. We're slightly off the chart here a little bit, something obviously going wrong here. And you can see our friends here in Spain were sort of up to the same tricks. They're in similar situations now. The house building at the bottom in Ireland, you can see it completely out of control by 2007 and then drops off. So basically from here on, there's been absolutely no house building, home building at all in Ireland. And that's leading on to current crisis in undersupply at the moment. Things like crazy tax incentive schemes were introduced in parts of the country. Up in this Upper Shannon area here, very rural area, Minister for Finance decides, based on helping people up there, introduce tax schemes to assist people in building homes. You could write off tax against it. All of this was said, the Department of Environment said you cannot do this, it's going to destroy the place. It went through in Budget Day, regardless of the consultation. This is what was really happening in this area. Scheme introduced, houses built all over the place. And this has a major effect on the area then. 2011 census, housing vacancy rate. So any of these blue areas, over 25% of housing in the area is vacant. So major issue across the country in terms of housing vacancy. Unfinished estates or ghost estates. It's like a map of measles across the country. They're absolutely everywhere. So these are estates that people would have bought, developers would have set them up, they would have been developed one part with the intention to sell that, the second part, third part, and so on. 2,800 plus of these across the country, all sorts of issues within there. And the sad fact, people are actually living in there, so this when it gets to home, about community, about your environment. All the different issues that you have in these estates. Completed are maintenance, health and safety, security, antisocial behaviour, negative equity, all sorts of stuff happening there. Some specific cases like Priory Hall in Dublin, they forgot to put any of the fireboards in. So one of the key issues with building homes and housing that local authorities said, listen, developers and architects, you just self-certify it. You tell if it's okay, you say it's fine. The local authority didn't do any checks on any housing developments or completions. So self-certification, you have all of this rubbish across the country, high-rise in so many homes, walls cracking, people living in these, so major, major issues there in terms of build quality, which is such an important part of home and housing. House prices, this is the drop from 2007, so this is right across the board in Ireland. 2012, 57% drop from the peak in house prices. National apartments down 50%, Dublin apartments down 45%. So prices way down. The amount of mortgages and houses that were built and bought and homes bought in that time results in this massive negative equity, which when you're talking about well-being, this is such a key part of it as well. If you have all of this financial stress behind you with your house or your home, it's an enormous stress on families and so on. So this is the status in Ireland at the moment. Quarter four, 2012, 143,000 mortgages in arrear, 11.5% 90 days or plus more. Overall, 47.5% of mortgages are in negative equity across the country. So a huge issue when it comes to thinking about home and housing and how people feel about living in their homes and their properties. The Economist then kind of revised what they were saying about Ireland from Europe shining light, all of a sudden we're now the poorest of the rich. So major editorial change there for The Economist. A new crisis is now emerging, which is kind of ironical given the cause of the crash, which is all about building and extra housing and all that sort of stuff. There's two parts to this crisis now. There's home buying and social housing, and this is really much kind of Dublin-based, the greater Dublin area. So in the Dublin and surrounding areas, there's now real issues of lack of supply. There's an incredible growing demand there and rapidly rising prices. So house prices up 15% across the country in the last 12 months. Dublin up 25%. There's nothing being built. And this cycle is starting again. There's house prices are getting bigger and bigger. There's queues outside houses, people trying to buy them and so on. New reports out now, there's an estimated 90,000 new housing units by 2021. All of this in the greater Dublin area. Outside Dublin, you got all the existing issues with oversupply and so on. So complete two-tier market in Ireland at the moment. There's also this major issue in relation to social housing, increasing risk of homelessness as rents rise. This is the Dublin Regional Homeless Executive, which deal with people who are at risk of becoming homeless across Dublin. So last year, over 4,500 people came to them with real risk of becoming homeless and looking for solutions. So you might think, well, you know, surely social housing will take care of this. That's something I haven't mentioned. Another problem in Ireland, social housing and homelessness, it's a major, major issue. Local authorities in Ireland, each one is responsible for their own social housing. Very different to, say, Northern Ireland, where it's one executive for the country. I'm not too sure what it is in Scotland. But we did have quite high numbers of social housing, about 18.5% in the 60s. Now we're down to only 7.9%. So where are all these people in need of social housing when they're all living, a huge majority of them living in the private rented sector? The household in need of social housing at the moment is nearly 90,000 across the country in need of social housing, trying to get into social housing. There's nothing there. There's nothing being built. They're all in the private sector. And the solution at the moment is the Department of Social Protection just pay them this, what's called a rent supplement, to try and pay for part of their private rent. This is a big issue. Rents are going through the roof, particularly across Dublin. Landlords now say, we're not interested in rent supplement anymore. You either pay the rent and you're out. They go out, there's no place for them to go. There's no homes, there's no social housing. It's a major issue, and what's happening across Dublin, and all the hotels, B&Bs and the outskirts of the cities are now filled with families living there with kids. They're, mom and dad with two kids living in a room with a small fridge. Their school is at the other side of the city. It's a serious social issue going on at the moment. The social housing that's there is generally in very poor condition, suffers from inadequate and effective maintenance. The solution to social housing in the past with these public-private partnerships kind of worked for a while, but that all completely fell off post the crash. So there's basically no social housing being built in the country at the moment, and a huge problem. So some of this, the Dublin City Council and the Dublin Region Homeless Executive knew they have this crisis on their hands. The whole country knows it. Okay, we really need to get our act together here and see what information is out there. How can we understand what's happening across the city? And rather than just bumbling along with this, try and get some direct action to places. So what data can we get together to tell us what the status of housing is like in the ground? Where are there people living at risk to homelessness, living in private rented and being supported by rent supplement? So we set up this project with them to try and do all of that. So the first thing was pull all of this readily available census data together. There's an enormous amount of data on housing there available. In Ireland, it comes every 5 years, so it's a really useful tool to looking at monitoring change over time. Part two then was we wanted to look at this rent supplement data, get access to it, see where are the people who are being funded by the social protection living. These are the people who are at risk to becoming homeless and moving out of these housing. And then part three was to look at the in-house Dublin housing related data sets. When we got in there and looked at the data that they have, it was actually shocking at how little control they had on their own data and their own mapping information within the council. They had an overall kind of anecdotal idea of what was happening, but to know exactly what's happening in areas, there wasn't really much there. So that was part of the project over the month. So very quickly, you can build up this huge amount of data on things like housing tenure, all this stuff, owner occupation, how many people with mortgages, housing type, whether it's bungalows, flats, apartments, year the house built, housing vacancy, and then some important things on the kind of environmental part of housing, central heating, water supply, sewage. So we can pull all of that stuff together into a mapping tool. And so for the first time then they start looking at, oh, this is where all the people who are living in private rented accommodation in the city. So massive core living in the centre. Over 71% of all areas in red is all private rented. So it's all very much dominated here in certain pockets. But the key thing for them was they wanted to find out, of all those people who are being supported by social protection data, they're the people we want to target. So we tried to track down all this information from the Department of Social Protection and got access to it. So there's a huge amount spent on rent supplement every year, all coming up in almost half a billion. Rents are rising, so this rent supplement is going to increase and increase. So by getting access to the raw data and mapping it, prior to this, this is what the Dublin guys in the housing would have had. This line of information, that was all they had on rent supplement data. Oh, we know there's 11,000 short-term, we know there's 32,000 long-term, that was it. Where, if you asked them 6 months ago, where is this? They haven't a clue. By mapping all of that stuff for the first time, you might think this is so simple and basic, but this stuff just wasn't done. Nobody just thought, yeah, maybe we should look at where this stuff is. So the first time they can now look at this, and all of a sudden they have this real understanding of what's going on across the city, where people being supported by the government to live in this private rented sector. So looking at this data, you can produce all this really interesting stuff then on the total numbers, the rates per household, look at different ages, so how many claimants are under 25, 25 to 50, so elderly people on rent supplements, so people are starting to get old who are at risk of becoming homeless. These are real, really deep, serious social issues. The number of people who have been in receipt of rent supplement for less than 6 months, longer than 12 months, longer than 18 months. So this is this kind of this core section that they want to look at. People who are on it for longer than 18 months are automatically entitled to social housing. So where are those people? They're the people who need to house. They're looking for a mechanism to take this to government saying there are all these people living here who need social housing. We need it now. We need to build it. Prior to this, they've never had any of that sort of information. So I'm just going to show you this online tool, how it actually works. So it's really simple software. And we've presented this stuff, so not just to people within the local authority and to planners, but importantly to citizens, to researchers, to planners. And one of the key things then is to the elected members, the Dublin City Councillors, politicians, showing that you now have access to all of this data. So a really simple mapping tool looking at Dublin. So they went from actually nothing prior to this project to all of a sudden having tons and tons of information here at these different census statistical boundaries, so looking at the small area level. So this is almost at an estate level, probably similar to the output areas in Scotland. So everything on type of households, on tenure, housing vacancy, looking at family cycle information, how many families are living in certain types of housing. And then the rent supplement data that we provided them with. An awful lot of information we're looking at, again, by gender, by age, by length of claim, so they can look at, in this area, there's X amount of families here who should be in social housing. This one, what we're looking at here, which is particularly of interest, and certainly to the media, and it created a bit of a storm in Dublin a couple of months ago, was the amount of money that the government are spending to support private rented housing in areas rather than developing social housing. So in this small area here on the outskirts of Dublin, so this is coming up on €1 million a month is being spent to support private rented housing, rather than thinking that there's a serious problem here, there's a serious issue, we need to build social housing here. This stuff is just being pushed out into the private sector, supporting individuals, literally paying private landlords to keep this property. So it's something like this. You can have all of the data, but when it comes down to the actual showing the euros and the spend and the potential wastage of government funding, this was the piece of information that made this project serious. So this is kind of taking off into a strand two project now, where it's been further expanded. They're going to develop a lot more information. They're looking at environmental data on social housing, see what sort of condition it is in. So do an entire inventory and map all of this sort of stuff. So the entire city and the Homeless Executive kind of woken up to this idea that this information is out there. They can bring all of this together, and by doing that, they can try and start making better decisions about how they tackle this issue and how they manage it. And I think an important thing, what they're doing as well, is they're making all of this fully public, so they're not hoarding this in-house and kind of hiding the bad news. People across the country know that there's an issue. They've just said, okay, the problem is really bad. Here's all the bad news. We're now actually trying to target it. So that's actually a real refreshing and kind of positive approach for them to take. And the idea is that in a year's time, they're going to review all of this mapping and indicators and data and see where they are in a year's time. So it's the first steps of setting up this kind of annual monitoring system of housing, all sorts of housing indicators right across the Dublin city and region. So it's all very well producing all of that sort of stuff and producing all the data, but unless you run a whole series of training and workshops, this thing is absolutely useless, because you can stick it up there. Some people use it, others won't. So we've been running a number of workshops and getting a wide variety of people in from the housing sector. So whether they're researchers, people working for, say, Focus Ireland, people working in local authorities, people working at government level, Department of the Environment, but also getting county councillors in and getting citizens in to work with all of this sort of data. We use open source GIS software, set them up on a laptop. Here's all the housing data in the city. Go and explore the issues and talk about it, very much like a session here. So they look at all the issues. So rather than anecdotally talking about them, they say, oh, look at this area here, there's X number of people on rent supplement, you know, what is the issue here, what's going on? So that's been a really interesting exercise, actually, to run through all of that with people and giving them the data, putting them in their hands and letting them get involved and start working with it. And it's something we're going to progress over the next number of months. The housing and homes is a serious problem at the moment across the country. Not for everybody, but for an entire generation, for my generation, and anybody who's bought in the last 10, 15 years, it's a serious issue in housing across Ireland. Everything from, you know, the financial side of things, negative equity, to the build quality, where houses were built in the middle of nowhere, no public services, you know, very poor amenities, all this sort of thing. And big thing was pricing as well. So people were completely pushed out of Dublin here. House prices were through the roof. So living, you know, somewhere off up here, their jobs are in Dublin, so daily commutes, which become a brand new part of Irish life. people generally lived close to where they worked. So the whole kind of demographic and spatial element of this has changed so much over the last 100 years. And very much it was all driven, all that change was driven about people trying to get on the property ladder, trying to get in, buy now, and you know, 5-10 years would flip the house, try and make money and move on, where it's nothing to do with that. That's all about housing and the housing ladder and getting on. Completely lost in the run of ourselves and thinking about home. You want to live where you want to live, where it's close to family, close to community, close to work and so on. And when that breaks down, and when the idea of buying houses is pushed so much by the government and people above the line, this is the sort of situation that you end up in. It's very hard to get out of it, and for some generations it's, you know, almost impossible. It's very hard to see, you know, 20, 30 years time, will you actually finally move out of this cycle of negative equity and so on. And that has a big impact on people's idea on housing and home, and certainly well-being, you know, in Ireland is very much affected by this issue at the moment.